Hello and welcome to Conscious Conversations with One Breath Institute with your hosts, Lisa McNett and Debbie Sherman. Tune in for mind-blowing conversations on how to be more conscious and present in your life.
Topics we cover include healing, spirituality, introspective breathwork, astrology, dreams, alternate states of consciousness, and so much more. Hear from us and our interesting guests. Make sure to follow and subscribe to easily find us and listen again.
Well, hello and welcome to Conscious Conversations with One Breath Institute. I am Lisa McNett, the founder of OBI and the host of today's show. And with me is Dr. Heidi Carby. I don't know how to spell it. I didn't ask you how to pronounce your last name. Will you say it right? I got it right. Okay. Dr. Heidi Carby. Perfect. Okay. Well, let me read to you a little bit about Heidi's bio. Dr. Heidi Carby's specialism is human behavior and bringing the unseen into light. Heidi leverages over 30 years of pattern recognition to unveil behaviors that can manifest as huge life challenges or possible awesome futures. With her signature Dream Catchers program, she guides women to find unshakable inner peace and purpose. Heidi has appeared on Channel 4, Arlberg TV, My Planet First. That's exciting. Her work has been published in the Financial Times, Business Reporter, and numerous academic journals, and she has co-authored multiple books. Heidi enjoys sharing her research at international conferences and hosting retreats, having recently invested in a retreat center in Denmark opening soon. Okay. So many amazing things, so many amazing accomplishments, being in academic journals, co-authoring books, sharing research at international conferences, hosting retreats. It's really amazing to have you here and to have you as part of our One Breath Institute community. Heidi has chosen to be part of our community. She's becoming an introspective breathwork practitioner with us as well, to add that to her list of many healing modalities. Thank you for being here, Heidi.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. It's really good to be here. I think when I first heard your story about your out-of-body experience in the cave, I was like, I really like this podcast. So it's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's where, you know, the intention of the podcast is to have conscious conversations and conscious conversations about, you know, the things that aren't always talked about, the unique and surreal experiences, of which I know you have had quite a few of yourself.
Yes, I have a few stories.
Yeah. I know you do. I know there's one about a Buddhist monk you want to tell us about. we'll move into that. But you know, you also mentioned Satori moments and your journey of awakening to spirituality, you know, having experiences of the divine and how these experiences have changed your sense of yourself. And so I'm curious if you could share a little bit about what that means. What is the Satori experience?
Yeah, well, I can explain what it means to me.
Great. Perfect.
Yeah. So for me, a Satori experience is a moment where I experience what you may call the divine. I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. So source energy, whatever you might want to call it, where instead of being little Heidi in my human body, I'm this great expansion of consciousness and part of, you know, universal consciousness, like everything and every thought, every element is a part of me and I'm a part of it. So it's this expansion of the self in a way.
Yeah, just I'm thinking of this just connection to oneness. You know, mm-hmm. the connection exactly. to oneness, where you become immersed in everything and you mm-hmm. are everything.
Yeah, exactly. Like one moment, one tiny moment that happened to me that did have quite a profound impact, that you can't tell everyone because they'll think you're a bit weird, but I was just putting my girls to bed. They were quite young at the time, and they were jumping around, you know, like not wanting to go to bed. They're full of life. It's that, you know, witching hour in the evening. And I was really tired because they were young, you know, two under two, just like, oh. And I'm thinking, okay, I need to get some energy here to try and put them to bed. And I was watching them thinking, I have no energy, can't do it. And then suddenly I felt this hand on my shoulder. And I was home alone. Well, I was with the girls, but there was no one else in the house. But it felt like someone put the arm around me and went next to me and put the hand on my shoulder and kind of said, I'm with you. It's okay. And this hand, as it touched me, obviously there's nothing physical there, but I feel it. I feel it like a hand, right?
Yeah.
I feel it on my body. And as it touches me, I am washed with love. And it's this power of love just fills me, like, and it gives me all this energy and this love and this light and this admiration for life. And all I can see is two gorgeous little girls jumping up and down, and oh great, they're mine, and aren't I lucky? And I just totally changed my perspective on what I was looking at and how I felt inside. And then I, you know, put them on my back and jumped around and put them to bed, and it was all great. And I came back in the lounge afterwards and I just said to the space, like, thank you. Because it felt so good.
Yeah. You know, that's such a beautiful story and such a beautiful moment of, you know, two kids under two, just that energy, that feeling of I just get such a sensation from what that feels like. And being exhausted yourself and in that moment of exhaustion, you know, feeling alone, feeling like I can't do this, you know, and how that translates to the girls too, mm-hmm. you know, to your children as well. And then receiving that support, you know, receiving that support, feeling it physically on your body, and feeling yourself flooded with this love and the support and this energy, and just shifting to now your experiences. You have the energy. You're excited that you have these girls. You recognize the value and the beauty and the connection that you want to have with them, and the energy is there. And you know, this just highlights something that that is such a real thing. You know, I found that when I'm using my own energy, like there's a limit. There's a limit to the amount of energy that I have, right?
Yeah.
But when I open up and I allow myself to be supported energetically by what is there to support me, whatever we want to call that.
Yeah. 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 If we're just a vessel and we let that energy flow through us, it's unlimited, isn't it? It's just, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the love as well is unlimited, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that story.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So was that, did you already have an experience or a practice at that point that you would say made it maybe easier for you to connect to that? Or was that just kind of a random thing that happened?
It was a bit random, but I would say my mum's quite psychic. She would foresee things before they happened and was quite connected. And I have also had lots of experiences as a child and through growing up where I've seen ghosts or I've had a dream and then it came true. So I'd say I've always been connected, actually. Yeah. But it did dull for a while. I'd say between my 20s and 30s, I was quite disconnected and I didn't have any of these experiences. So then when I came back into myself, then the intuition and the psychic abilities came back with that connection.
When I came back into myself.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 Do we want to touch that at all?
Maybe another time.
Yeah. 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 It's just, you know, it's interesting. I, you know, we won't go into it, but I'm hearing that, you know, and in my personal experience as well, you know, we can lose connection when we just really dissociate or disconnect, or, you know, just end up in a path where we're just disconnecting. Mm-hmm. We're just disconnecting. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So coming back to yourself, opening up to having more experiences, and having these different times where you've seen things, where you've heard things, where you've received support, mm-hmm. You know, would you say that? Yeah. So, would you say that, you know, this word Satori, I believe, is a Buddhist word. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You have some experience. You have lots of experiences and lots of different trainings. Would you share a little bit about your experience with some of the training that you've done that might have pointed you in the direction of opening up to your gifts?
Yes, I would say the what you would call exponential deepening of my practices happened when I started seriously meditating. I always meditated as a child, but I didn't know it was meditation. So I would sit and watch the rain, and I would be totally lost and completely mindful by looking at the rain, and I would have no thoughts and I would forget where I was, and I would just be in the rain, and that's a form of meditation. Or I would sit and I would chant a mantra, and I'd say the same words over and over and over again to stop any negative thoughts in my head. And so I kind of always did meditation, but didn't call it meditation, and it wasn't a practice, it was just a natural way of being. But as an adult, I discovered like a formal form of meditation, and I did some transcendental meditation training in India, where my father's from, where my half my family are from. And when I did this transcendental meditation, the chap that was teaching me was like, you have to do this twice a day, 20 minutes twice a day minimum. I said, well, can I do like 40 minutes one day and then 20 minutes? And he's like, no, twice a day, 30 minutes minimum. I'm like, okay. And so I started doing it like by the book, at least 20 minutes twice a day. And some days I would do 2 hours because I enjoyed it so much. And I would get these synchronicities in life, because I was meditating and I was more present with me. And like I said, coming back into me, in my body, and into this life that I've chosen, that I suddenly found that life was supporting me rather than me pushing against it. Mm. It's like there was a shift in the way I lived my life and the way that I perceived things happening around me. I felt that they were supporting me and helping me and on my side, if that makes sense. Rather than pushing and fighting and trying and like my life had been before that. So when I was doing this meditation, I went into it quite deeply. And I can share a moment I had, if you like.
Yeah. I'll ask you that in just a second. But I just want to highlight that piece, because a few things about what you said, Heidi, because a lot of people are seeking meditation and think that they can't do it, or think it's like, you know, the idea or the concept of meditation is I'm supposed to just sit here in one place and my mind just goes quiet. And your mind can come to a quiet place, but that's not the starting point. Mm. That's not the starting point to getting there. And also, you know, just that being immersed in a thing, like being immersed in the rain and coming to a place where you're just connected with the rain. And those moments are meditations.
They are. And they're so precious. And I think everybody does it. Everyone's sat and looked at the waves at the beach, and they've watched a stream, or they've, I don't know, been mesmerized by the light shining through the trees. I mean, we've all had these moments, usually in nature, I would say. Certainly for me, I think Mother Nature and the plethora of flora and fauna we have is just mesmerizing, and I could watch it all day. But I think we've all had experiences and not thought of it as meditation, but actually it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I would have to agree. I tend to agree with you. It is. I mean, well, we are. Yeah. And as a side note, don't go there. yeah. When we're immersed in nature, you know, and we're in the awe and the inspiration and that connection, then yes, we do go immersed. You know, we can also just get, you know, in society, kind of, it's not necessarily a meditation, but we can end up entranced. We can end up entranced, you know, by things like TV. And that's what I was going to say. You know, it's like it's becoming entranced. It's becoming lost in that experience. And so becoming connected with nature and immersed in nature is a way that is you, that is me. You know, we are part of nature. We're not, it's not an unnatural thing. And so it unlocks something within us.
Yeah, I think there's some healthy ways to be entranced and some unhealthy ways to be entranced.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. That was my thought. How long were you in India?
Oh, I go quite frequently, but a couple of months at a time, or a month, or, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going again at Christmas. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay. And you have family there. Do you connect with your family when you go there?
Yes, of course. Yes, yes. I have lots of family, hundreds of cousins.
Okay. Where in India?
My brother lives in Shillong, which is northeast India. It's the capital of Meghalaya. So if you think of India as a bee, it's in the top right, kind of in between Bangladesh and Sikkim. So it's in the Himalayas, and it's gorgeous, and it's a bit higher up, so it's not so hot like Delhi. It's quite lush and green, lots of tea plantations and fresh mountain streams. It's quite beautiful. It looks quite similar, strangely, to Austria. The Alps in Austria and Meghalaya look very similar to me. You know, they have pine trees, it has beautiful streams, and yeah, it's pretty.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, there is something India holds, just a different vibration, just a very different vibration. And having the opportunity to go there and to be in that energy and that space and the vibration, I feel like can be transformational in itself. So amazing. Okay. And you had this meditation teacher, and it is very true. Being, you know, somebody who has spent time studying in India myself, is very by the book, very traditional. This is the way that you do it. And there can be so much value in that. There can be a lot of value in supporting the discipline that comes with the practice, and also the understanding of why you do it this way.
Yes, exactly. And if he hadn't pushed me to stick to the practice, then I don't think I would have opened as many gifts as I have. And I think it's different for everybody. So we all have supernatural gifts within us, and some more prevalent than others, depending on, you know, the lives that we've had, the experience that we've had, the things that we're open to. But it's just phenomenal, I think, the amount of untapped potential we humans have that we're yet to discover. Like, we're discovering it, we're on the edges of it now, of it becoming, people becoming aware of it and realizing there's more. But it's so new, you know, we're in this quite new time. I say new, I mean, some people have known it for thousands of years, but it's becoming more commonplace now, so the everyday person can tap into the unknown. And make it normal.
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely something that we seek to do, is to normalize these gifts, these natural talents that we have. And, you know, one thing that you said earlier that just brings it right back, because we do all have gifts. We do have all of these, you know, it's natural for us to have psychic capacities. And how at home are we to be using those? because we really need to be here and be embodied and be connected to be able to fully realize and access the gifts that we have.
Exactly. And I'd say most people probably have an experience where they made a decision based on their head or what was on paper, even though their heart said something different. And then it turned out not to be what they wanted. And they're like, I knew it. Why didn't I trust my gut? That is your intuition. That is that's the thing that we need to listen to. Yeah.
Such simple and profound advice, everyone. Take heed when you know that the direction is one way, but you're talking yourself into being another way. Don't go down that road or you might regret it later.
Exactly. And that's what I love about Obi, actually, because connecting with the breath does bring you back. So you can hear those messages and you can hear that little whisper from your heart saying, no, no, don't do it. Or the one that says, yeah, yeah, go for it, go for it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. The breath is right there for us at any moment to help us slow down, check in, listen, and then choose which direction to go on the path.
Exactly.
So you were going to share a moment with us.
Oh, yes. I love this moment. I can tell you this.
Okay, great.
Okay, so picture this. It's a beautiful summer day. I'm in Austria and I'm sat on my bed and I'm getting ready for a meditation. So I'm sat on a nice little fluffy white pillow, windows open, sun streaming in. You know when you close your eyes and you can see the red of the sun on your eyelids, and I'm just really happy in this moment and just really looking forward to doing another meditation. No expectations, just relaxing. And I can smell the lavender coming through the window, and I can hear the hum of the bees, and there's a river at the bottom of the garden. I can hear the water. So I'm just enjoying all of this. And I'm in this moment. And then all my meditations are different. Nothing is ever the same. And I never know what to expect or not. But there's something common in all of them, in that there's this sense of peace and calm that just comes in. And so I have this sense of peace and calm. And then I kind of go deeper. So I can't hear the bees anymore. I can't smell the lavender. I can't hear the river. I don't even see the sun on my eyelids. I've just gone in and gone within. And I get this urge to speak. And I never speak. I'm always, I rarely listen to music when I do. It's normally just quiet, silent. I listen to nature, you know. But I get this urge to speak. And I think, this is weird. So I'm conscious enough to know that I'm wanting to speak. So I just start speaking. Yeah. And when I say, okay, I need to speak, kind of like start like this. And then I just let the words come out. And it's my voice and my words, and it's all in my language, you know. It's not like I'm speaking tongues or anything. But when I'm speaking, I'm also seeing. And I get this very strong sense that I'm in a temple. So I'm Heidi sat on my bed in my bedroom, like with the window open, but I'm also sat in this temple. So I'm looking and I see this temple, my eyes closed, but looking inside, right? And I can hear some, you know, chanting, and I'm like, oh. So I'm saying out loud, I'm in a temple. I see some pillars. And then I notice when I move my arm, and I go, oh, I'm wearing robes, and I can describe the robes, the gold and the red of the robes. I'm like, oh, I have man's hands. And I'm really like, whoa. And I'm looking at my hands, yeah, and seeing this, these man's hands. And then I'm meditating in the temple as well.
Sure.
I'm surrounded by all these other monks also meditating. I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I'm dictating everything that I see, like, to myself out loud.
Yeah.
And what happens is I'm doing this meditation and I realize I've kind of got my hands a little bit open, kind of like And I'm holding this energetic ball of, well, energy and light, and it's swirling around, and I'm hosting this, holding this ball of energy. And it's like I'm concentrating on it, and all the monks are concentrating on it as well. And we're gathering pain and suffering from across the world, and we're pulling it in to this ball of energy. And it's like a healing meditation. And we're holding this ball of energy, and it's growing and it's growing and it's swirling, and as we're connected, as the monks are all connected and we're all meditating, it's increasing, and we're gathering this, what I can only describe as pain and suffering from humanity across the world. And we're doing this, and I'm still Heidi sat on my bed, but I'm also this monk. I'm literally living this life, and in this temple, I feel like I'm physically there doing this meditation.
Yeah.
And we lift up this energy, all of us, and we lift up this ball, and I lift it up, and I lift it up, and I give it. And as I lift it up, it kind of gets bigger and bigger and lighter. Yeah, it gets bigger and lighter and more translucent. And it becomes this massive ball that I'm holding up. And then I let it go, and it goes up into love, and it goes and like dissipates into love. And then we've kind of released that pain and suffering. And it was just, I can't really describe, but it was such a releasing, beautiful moment that my words can't describe it in any way, shape or form. But it was like so powerful. And then we come down, and I'm just thinking, wow, that was amazing. And then I come back, and I come back to, you know, start smelling the lavender, and I start hearing the hum of the bees, and I'm coming back to my bed, and I'm like, see the light on my eyes, and I'm just like, whoa, that's awesome. And I was in two places at once. Like, yeah. I was two yeah. beings, you know. It was just incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I get such a sense of how powerful this was for you while you're speaking. You really took me on the journey. I was hearing the bees, I was smelling the lavender, and then, yeah, you're in these, you're having these dual, this is what I call them, dual experiences, of being Heidi on the bed and of being the monk and doing this amazing, powerful healing work. And you know, what beautiful work that is. And, you know, I believe in the power of, you know, collective, I'll use the word prayer, but, you know, collective prayer, collective intention, collective meditation, collective heal, you fill in whatever word. It sounds like, I mean, of course, I believe that there are positive high frequency beings like monks and nuns and you know, not any number of just regular lay persons who create this environment. And so you were a part of that, and really, yeah, energetically supporting the healing, planetary healing and consciousness, and just pulling into this energetic ball the pain and suffering of the world. And in this moment on your bed, you're also pulling in pain and suffering from the world and into this energetic ball. And so in these two timelines, in these two spaces at once that have converged into a singular moment, that intention and that healing is just multiplied.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's phenomenal, actually. And I was really excited about it. And I had a friend that lived next door, said, "Can I try it on you?" So, like, sure.
And so what happened?
And then I tried it on her and took her through the meditation, and she said it was really profound for her as well, that she was able to release this past hurt and emotions that she wasn't consciously aware of, but felt the lightning after she'd released them. Okay. And she's allowed to bring in this love afterwards. She said it was great. So, yeah.
Yeah.
She uses it regularly now as a morning practice.
Nice. Yeah, and I love that it's like, it's, you know, love, it's love. You're using the word love, like the love is taking it. I think that the word, I mean, probably a lot of our listeners have a good idea of what the word love means, but I'm just going to speak to it. The word love is oftentimes misconstrued. And just that love, pure love, can be the healer of all.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Love can mean many things. But the love I'm talking about, it's actually about connection. It's about acceptance. It's about being totally seen and still accepted and loved and perfect. And this is, I don't know how to describe it, but it's kind of misconstrued as romantic love. But I think all romantic love is looking for connection with another person and wanting that deep heart-to-heart connection. Whereas the love of the universe is connection to all things, connection to yourself, connection to every living thing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Hmm. Taking a breath with that. Mm. And without conditions, right? Without conditions.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No conditions.
Without conditions. Yeah. So... yeah, here's an interesting thought or an interesting question or reflection, however you want to respond to this. You know, there's the concept of past lives, mm-hmm. of past lives, and there's and with those being on kind of a linear experience,
mm-hmm.
Whereas I might have been this 1,000 years ago, or I might have had this life 500 years ago, or I might and having these memories to these different experiences, mm-hmm. and then there's also a concept of parallel dimensions where they're really all happening at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah, so it seems like something sparked for you. So what would you like to say, what about that?
I used to use the terminology past lives because when I was young it felt like that. I know I've been a black slave, I know I've been a nun running an orphanage, I've been a herb healer in the woods, kind of early kind of 18th century. I know of other lives that I've had, but I don't call them past lives anymore. I think time is a human construct that's convenient to help us understand the world that we live in, but I don't think time really exists.
Yeah, it's a funny kind of thing. I was introduced to a concept a year and a half ago that really rang true for me and feels so powerful. And that's the concept of like my future self, right? My future self is giving me the opportunity to change things in my present moment awareness for a greater potential or meeting my potentiality, right?
Yeah.
and that's cleaning up the, you know, the past pieces or the side pieces. And and so I really love that.
Yeah. Because your future self is present in your present self, as is your past self, if you want to call them that, but they're all present.
They're
here right now.
Yeah. And so when we go places, I mean, you were very much describing this parallel experience, mm-hmm. which is something that I can relate to having had before, is a parallel experience. Mm-hmm. And something that probably everyone can relate to is, where do you go in your dreams?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's happening in your dreams? You know, you're literally checked out. Like you're literally not using this body, So where are you?
Exactly.
And what's happening?
Yeah. Oh, I had this, I don't know if it was a crisis, but a few years ago, I was like, what am I? Who am I? What does that mean? You know, and I was like, well, I know I'm not my body, because if I cut off my arm, I'm no less of me. So my body doesn't define who I am. I know I'm not my thoughts, because as my thoughts change, I'm still there. And I'm watching my thoughts, so who's watching them? You know, so my thoughts are not me. I know I'm not my, I'm not my life, or this particular life, because I know I've experienced other lives. So I'm pretty sure that when Heidi dies, I will live on, you know.
Yeah.
In this physical form, of course. But my consciousness has been there for longer than Heidi has, and it will continue to be there when Heidi's gone.
Yeah. Yeah. And what, so there's two different things that are coming up for me right now. And one of those things is, what dictates where we go after?
Mm.
That's always an interesting thing that I like to bring in for persons to reflect on, because in a lot of different traditions, it is, you know, there's a concept of, this is the construct that you're going to next, you know. So to bring in Christianity, there's like a heaven or a hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
To bring in, you know, there's a Tibetan Book of the Dead that has this whole, it's an entire book, you know, in preparation for the afterlife, for where you're going when you die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, according to Krishna consciousness, you know, in the Hare Krishna community, you need to be focused on Krishna at the time of your death, so that you go to be with Krishna at the time of your... So I've studied these things. There's a lot of different things in a lot of different, you know, religious and spiritual philosophies.
Mm.
And so my question is, how do I want to know that I want to go hang out with Krishna? How do I really know that I want to go to heaven? Or how do I really know that I want to end up with all these Tibetans? Like, you know, like, because how do I know that if I'm focused there, that I'm not going to go there? Right? Like, why? Like, does this make sense?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah. So. I'm just food for thought, everybody. Like, if what I believe to be true in my life now, you know, like, if I believe what I'm true in my life now is going to become my reality in this embodied consciousness, then how do I know that it's not going, that's not going to carry over into my disembodied consciousness?
Yeah. I have a feeling when we first pass over that our beliefs before we pass will inform what we first meet, to help us adjust to transitioning from this world to the other world. But I don't believe any of those beliefs actually are whole and right, because our brains can't fathom what's to come.
No, we really can't. We really can't. Yeah. And I think that's true. I think it's about like the transition, the hallway, the room.
Yeah,
the
like the hallway, yeah.
That we go to, and who's going to be there in that hallway with us. And I think that that's, you know, from my belief, that's a big part of why when persons die abruptly, or when persons are in very mentally troubled states of mind when they pass over, that you know, there is the idea of ghosts, right? That are, you know, negatively connected
stuck.
To this kind of stuck or stagnant energy. So I, you know, I'll come back and I'll say I do feel like having maybe we don't have to have an idea of who's going to be waiting in the hallway for us. Mm-hmm. But feeling more settled in our soul, or in mm-hmm. our self, will support an easier dropping of the body.
I had a what you call a near-death experience. When I was strangled once, believe it or not.
Yeah,
and I had no breath left, and I passed out. And whilst I was being strangled, I came out of my body, and I watched the scene as if I was at the ceiling looking down. Like in a movie, the camera zooms out and has a look at the situation. And I could see this guy strangling me, and I could see me having no breath left and passing out and slumping to the floor. And I could see his face looking horrified at what he'd done, because he realized, kind of snapped out of his anger moment and realized what he'd done. And I could see me dead on the floor. And I kind of zoomed back into my body, and it felt incredibly painful to come back into my body. And then I took a breath, and I was on the floor, and I was, you know, back in this body. And the feeling I had when I was up there watching, it wasn't afraid. I wasn't, it wasn't painful. It wasn't any of the horrible things you might imagine. It wasn't scary or any of those things. It was calm and peaceful, like a meditation. It was observational, so I was watching it, but I didn't feel the same as I would feel as a human. I wasn't feeling compassion. I wasn't feeling judgment. I wasn't feeling angry. I was just watching it as it is. Oh, this is how it is. And I wasn't afraid at all. And it felt quite beautiful, actually. It felt very calm and beautiful and peaceful. And yeah, I'm not afraid of dying for that reason, because I kind of experienced it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not afraid of dying for different reasons. But thank you for bringing in all of those pieces. I mean, yeah, all of these feelings that we have are human constructs. They're human constructs. They're connected to these human bodies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is something that I've heard before numerous times about these, you know, kind of near-death experiences, is out of the body, looking down, calm, peacefulness. And, you know, it's such a vulnerable story, Heidi. Thank you for sharing that with us. Yeah, I got a real sense of being up here and just looking down, and I'm in a calm and peaceful place, and that's just what happened. And then coming back in to the body, how painful that had to be, especially because there's no pain here. And then coming back in, and there's all of the physical and the emotional pain connected to your experience. And, you know, for you to make the choice to come back in to that painful experience just speaks to how much you're meant to be here.
Well, yeah, I know that. That's the strange thing, is I wasn't finished yet. I'm like, no, this isn't it. I've got more to do. Like, I'm not done. You know, let me get back in there and carry on. Kind of.
Yeah. You knew that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've had so many near-death experiences. It's like, it's incredible. So if you're ever not sure about something, just stand right next to me and you'll be fine.
Oh, no. Oh, well, Heidi, speaking of your your mission here on Earth, your Earthbound mission, would you share a little bit about what your work looks like or is going to look like? Because you have your current container, and then you're working on the retreat center. So anything you want to share with about your work for whomever might be attracted to finding you?
Yeah. I'd say actually the soul calling for me is to help raise consciousness. on the planet. And I think there's different ways that you can do that. But for me, I want to help people at an individual level. So I work with women because I believe we need more strong women in the world. And they need to have their voice and find their power and be a strong feminine presence, because that's what the planet needs. It needs balance. And we've been out of balance for a bit too long. So I work with women to help them find that inner peace and sense of purpose in their life. And I use my experience in life, but I also use all of the trainings and things that I've done to that helped heal me and help me work with other women. So yeah.
Okay, beautiful. And is there a piece of advice or a wisdom or a message that you would like to share?
Let me breathe on that. Hang on. Yeah. You can do anything. You can be anything. You already are it. So go catch those dreams.
You can do anything. You can be anything. You already are it. So go catch those dreams. Wonderful. Okay, well, we are going to put your link for your website and any other links below.
Thank you.
This and all the places. And would you like to just speak it to everyone so that they know how to find
it? Yes. It's drheidikari.com. So you won't be able to spell my name. It's got lots of pages in it.
So the links will be below. Yeah, the links will be below. Perfect. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, we didn't really get into your retreat center. I would love for you to come back and talk, but I'm also excited and looking forward to you creating a space. You are creating a space where you can host the types of connections and healing that you are called to.
Exactly. A beautiful energy and healing sanctuary. So I'm looking forward to that opening too.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi. And thank you, everyone who has been with us today. And let's take a breath. Okay. And we'll see you so soon.
If you're hearing this message, you've listened to this episode all the way to the end. And for that, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
We want to hear from you. Reach out and let us know what you thought of this podcast. And please like, subscribe, and share this episode with your friends.